Okay, so you sent over this ENT 101 course outline from Toronto Metropolitan University. Looks like it's all about building an entrepreneurial mindset. Definitely sounds like our kind of deep dive.
It is, and I think what's interesting, just even skimming through it, is that it's not just about learning to start a business.
Right.
It's more about like an entrepreneurial mindset that you can apply to, well, anything really. I mean, it's called building an entrepreneurial mindset.
Yeah, and it explicitly states its goal is to sort of ignite this passion to achieve extraordinary goals.
Yeah.
So it seems to be about, not necessarily even starting a business, but thinking and acting entrepreneurially.
Exactly. And it's about creating new value. So any place where you can use that kind of thinking.
Cool. So this course, it's got a lot of different components to it. How is this all structured?
So there are five main components. A big one is online, asynchronous content. It's called Building an Entrepreneurial Mindset. And you access that on D2L via Articulate Storyline. And there are interactive elements. There are quizzes along the way, which actually contribute 25% to the final grade.
Oh, wow. So the quizzes are a big part of it.
Yeah, a significant part. And you have to get at least 61% on each quiz to move on to the next module.
Oh, I see. I also noticed a warning about accessing quizzes from multiple devices.
Yes, very important point. You should not try to access quizzes from more than one device. If you do that, you can be locked out, and there's a chance you could be accused of academic misconduct.
Right. Yeah. Better not risk that.
So yeah, stick to one device. What else? Let's see. So there are also in-class laboratory workshops,
Okay.
and these are 1 hour each. They represent 15% of the final grade, and they sound like a really good place to get some feedback, have some hands-on learning and collaboration.
Okay.
And then alongside those are large format lecture hall sessions. And again, these are 1 hour each, but these ones do not directly contribute to your final grade.
I see. So workshops are where the, actual marks come in, but the lectures are more like a broader context.
Yeah, reinforcement, discussing challenges, and inspiration.
Okay, makes sense. What about graded assignments? What are we talking about there?
Okay, so they call them hands-on experience assignments with documented assurances of learning, or AOLs.
AOLs.
AOLs, and there are seven of them.
Okay.
They are worth, in total, 60% of your final grade.
So a huge chunk of your grade comes from these assignments.
A huge chunk. Let me see. Okay, so the first assignment is called Future Vision. That one is due in week four, and it's worth 5%.
Gotcha.
The second one is email with response and notes, week five, 5%. Business model U, week six, 5%. Networking event, week eight, 5%. Self-reflection, week nine, 5%. So those first five are all worth 5% each. And just note, all these assignments are due Tuesdays at 11:30 p.m.
Okay, that gives a good flavor of what's going on.
Yeah.
What are the final two assignments then?
Okay, so we have the live public speaking presentation, which is worth 10%, and it's spread out from weeks 9 to 12. And then the final one, the big one, is final report, business model canvas, and that's worth 25% due in week 12.
Wow, okay. So a lot of hands-on stuff in this course.
Yes, absolutely.
And then you mentioned this thing called TED points.
Yeah, 10
So you can
points.
actually earn bonus marks.
Up to 5% in bonus marks
Okay.
for engaging in extracurriculars within TRSM.
TRSM.
That's the Ted Rogers School of Management. And basically, you just accumulate TED points for doing various things. They have the Fit for Business newsletter where you can keep track of your points.
Okay.
And each point is roughly equivalent to 1 hour of engagement.
So encouraging people to get involved in the community, that's great.
Yeah.
What if for some reason you can't participate in the TED Points thing?
You can request alternative assignments, but you have to do that by the end of week four.
So early on. Okay. So with all that in mind, all these components, what are you supposed to be learning in this course? What are the key learning outcomes they're going for?
So they're really aiming for a pretty significant impact, it seems. The main thing is for you to learn and practice what they call an entrepreneurial mindset, which includes things like curiosity, proactivity, empathy, resilience, adaptability, creativity, optimism. It's quite a list.
Wow, that's a lot of big words. And what does that actually mean in practice? How are you supposed to develop those things?
Yeah, it goes even further than that. It also includes self-esteem, self-efficacy, self-leadership, and growth mindset.
Okay, so it really is about building a whole set of personal and professional attributes.
Yes, definitely.
Well, they also want you to understand innovation and entrepreneurship concepts more broadly and even improve your written English skills.
Right, because communication is key.
Absolutely.
Okay, so who are the people teaching this course?
So the lead instructor is Dr. Stephen Gedeon, and he handles the lectures and the asynchronous content. And then for the lab classes, grading and accommodations, there are two instructors, Mina Mohammadi and Ryan Willock, so you'd have one of them for your lab section. Okay, so how do you get in touch with them if you have a question?
So both of their offices are in TRS 2073.
Got it.
Dr. Gedeon's email is skidian@toronomu.ca. Mina Mohammadi's email is minamohamma@toronomu.ca. And Ryan Willock's email is ryan.willock@toronomu.ca.
And you just email them whenever.
So there are some guidelines, a couple of things to keep in mind. You have to use your official university email account, for one thing. And for emails to Mina or Ryan, you have to use a specific subject line format. It should be the course code, your section number, and the day and time of your lab workshop.
Okay, makes sense. Keeps everything organized.
Yeah. And also, I noticed that there is a pretty strict policy around unprofessional emails. It explicitly states that if you send an unprofessional email, you will not get a response.
Oh, so better be polite.
Yeah, keep it professional. So that gives us a good overview of the course structure and the people involved. Now we can get into the content a little bit.
Sounds good.
So pretty early on, in week two, they talk about planning versus searching for entrepreneurial endeavors. And they point out that traditional business courses, you know, the ones where you go and learn about business in a traditional setting, they tend to emphasize planning.
Yeah. Make a plan, stick to the plan.
Right. Set clear goals. Assume you have a stable environment, that you control resources. They bring up the example of the business plan.
Oh, yeah. The good old business plan.
Yeah.
I guess you see that a lot in big companies,
yeah,
you know, for securing loans and also things like management consulting.
Yeah. And they even mention the BUS 800 Strategic Management course, which is a final year course that students typically take, as a place where that detailed planning framework is explored.
Got it.
But this course kind of contrasts that with the reality of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, because in the real world, things don't always go according to plan.
Right. So in contrast to planning, they talk about searching. And with searching, it's more about things like prototyping, getting early customers, bootstrapping.
It's more of an iterative approach, like figuring things out as you go.
Exactly. And this searching really ties into the idea of effectual doing, which they introduce in week one.
Okay, so what is effectual doing?
Mm.
How does it differ from that sort of causal, goal-oriented thinking that goes into planning?
So it's a very different way of thinking. It's not about saying, this is my goal, now how do I achieve it?
Yeah.
It's more about starting with what you have. It's called the bird in the hand principle.
Okay, so you're working with what's already available to you.
Yeah, and there are three categories. Who you are, so your traits, tastes, and abilities. What you know, so your knowledge, experience, education. And whom you know, so your network.
Okay, so you're leveraging those existing resources.
Exactly. And then you imagine possible ends. So you don't start with a specific goal in mind.
I see. So it's more about exploring the possibilities that emerge from what you already have rather than trying to force a predetermined outcome.
Exactly.
So where does the traditional business plan fit into all of this? Is it completely irrelevant in this more entrepreneurial, effectual doing kind of world?
No, it's not irrelevant. They actually talk quite a bit about the business plan. They reference some videos and even the course description for ENT 726, which is an upper level course.
Gotcha.
And they say it's still useful for things like aligning a team, securing loans, providing strategic clarity. It can be particularly useful for larger companies or for specific types of SMEs like restaurants and salons, where a more predictable model might apply.
Right. So it depends on the context.
Exactly.
And I'm guessing they probably dispel the myth that you need, like this massive, super detailed business plan to be successful.
Exactly. Keep it concise and fit for purpose.
Okay. Makes sense. Now, the course outline also mentions this concept of strategy.
Yeah, so they define strategy as gaining a sustainable competitive advantage by being different in a way that matters to customers.
So you can't just be different for the sake of being different.
Exactly. And to achieve this, you need to define the competitive field, the value proposition, the resources and capabilities, and the sustainability of the advantage.
Right. It has to be a meaningful difference that resonates with your target audience. This reminds me of that idea of having a unique selling proposition, a USP. You need to be able to articulate what makes you stand out.
Exactly. And to help you think about this, they talk about four key questions that a good strategy should answer.
Okay. What are those?
First, where do we compete? So that's about defining the market or industry you're targeting. Second, what unique value do we bring? What sets us apart from the competition?
Makes sense.
What are the other two? The third one is, what resources and capabilities help us achieve our advantage? And finally, how do we sustain our unique advantage over time?
Okay, so those are all really important considerations. Do they provide any examples to illustrate how this works in practice.
Yeah, they bring up IKEA as a company that has a strong, well-defined strategy.
Makes sense. IKEA definitely has a unique approach. Now, the outline also mentions emergent strategy, which I think is a concept from Henry Mintzberg. Sorry about that. So what is emergent strategy all about?
So emergent strategy basically recognizes that the strategy that you intend to follow, the deliberate strategy, isn't always what ends up happening.
Yeah, the real world has a way of throwing curveballs.
Right. So the realized strategy is often different, and this can be both good and bad. It can allow for flexibility and adaptation, but it can also lead to a loss of focus.
So it's about finding that balance between sticking to the plan and being open to adapting as you go.
Exactly.
And what about this thing called the value stick that's also mentioned in the outline?
Yeah, so the value stick is a model presented in the quick study, What is Strategy? Video that's part of the course.
Okay.
And it looks at how value is created and distributed in a transaction.
Gotcha.
It considers the customer's willingness to pay, so the maximum they're willing to build, the supplier's willingness to sell, the minimum they're willing to accept, the value created, which is the difference between those two, the firm margin, so the profit that the company captures, and customer delight, which is how much value the customer perceives they've received.
Okay, so it's a way of visualizing how value is created and shared between everyone involved in the transaction.
Right.
How can understanding this value stick help companies make better strategic decisions?
So by understanding these components, companies can figure out ways to increase the total value created or capture a larger share of that value. For example, they might focus on increasing the customer's willingness to pay by things like building brand equity, improving product quality, or offering complementary products.
Right, so by making the product or service more appealing or valuable to the customer, you can potentially charge a higher price.
Exactly. And once again, IKEA is used as an example.
They're really driving that IKEA example home, aren't they?
They are.
Okay. The outline also mentions Roger Martin and his idea that a plan is not a strategy.
Yeah, that's a really key idea.
So what's the difference? How does Roger Martin define strategy?
So Roger Martin argues that developing a real strategy requires making tough choices, stepping outside your comfort zone. He says that a plan, with its specific goals, initiatives, and budgets, is different from the underlying logic of how you're going to compete and create value.
I see. So the plan is the what, but the strategy is the how.
Exactly.
And he also points out that developing a real strategy can be uncomfortable because it involves uncertainty and risk. You're making bets about the future.
Right.
Okay, so we've covered planning versus searching and the fundamentals of strategy. Now, the course outline moves on to success tips for university students, which sounds interesting. What are some of the key things they focus on there?
So this section is all about setting realistic expectations and understanding how university is different from high school. They draw on a source called Basics of the University Game by Dr. David Valliere.
Well, that makes sense. There's definitely a big transition from high school to university. So what are some of the main differences that the course highlights?
Well, for one thing, there's a big difference in structure. High school is very structured, with a set schedule and teachers telling you what to do. University is much more about self-management.
Yeah, you're responsible for your own learning.
Exactly. And the amount of outside study required is significantly higher in university.
Definitely. No more coasting by on just paying attention in class.
Right. And another key difference is the emphasis on results. In high school, effort is often the main thing that's rewarded. But in university, it's all about the outcomes.
Okay, so it's a much more independent and results-oriented environment.
Exactly.
And that naturally leads into the topic of time management.
Right. So the course spends some time on time management concepts, starting with Stephen Covey's four quadrants framework. You know, urgent, important.
Oh, yeah, I heard of that.
And the key message is to focus on quadrant two activities, the important but not urgent ones.
Right, the big rocks, as they're sometimes called. Ugh. The things that are important for your long-term goals, but don't have an immediate deadline.
Exactly. Things like strategic planning, relationship building, personal development. And the course recommends scheduling these quadrant two activities during your peak productivity times each week.
So you're proactively making time for them, rather than letting them get pushed aside by more urgent tasks.
Right. They also suggest a three-step process for scheduling your time effectively.
Okay. I'm all ears. How does that work?
First, you schedule your most important tasks during the times when you have the most energy.
Makes sense.
Second, you schedule less demanding tasks for your lower energy periods. And third, you use different colors in your calendar or planner to distinguish between different types of activities.
Well, that's a good tip. I like the visual organization.
Yeah, it can be really helpful. And they talk about how planning is key to overcoming procrastination.
Right. If you have a plan and you've scheduled time for things, it's much easier to actually get started.
Exactly.
Now, they also take a pretty unique approach to time management by drawing lessons from how a computer manages its processes.
Yeah, there's a TED video about that.
Oh, interesting. So what can we learn about time management from computers?
The main takeaways are to avoid multitasking, to avoid unnecessary interruptions, to touch things once, meaning deal with a task completely the first time you encounter it, and to batch process simile tasks like email or text messages.
Okay, that's actually pretty helpful. I can definitely see how those principles could apply to our own work.
Yeah, they're surprisingly relevant. And they also include some takeaways from a 10 time management tips video.
Oh, cool. What are some of those tips?
Let me see. So they talk about owning your time, using the hell yeah or no principle for deciding on commitments, identifying your daily highlight, which is your most important task for the day, using a to-do list effectively, time blocking, Parkinson's law, which is the idea that work expands to fill the time available, protecting your personal time, delegating tasks when possible, automating scheduling, and choosing to be satisfied.
Wow, it's a whole toolbox of time management techniques.
Yeah, there's a lot in there.
It really sounds like they're equipping students with the skills and the mindset to be successful, not just in their studies, but in life in general.
Exactly.
Now, the outline also mentions some resources to help students prepare for the first assignment, the future visioning resume and cover letter. What's the focus there, and what kind of resources are they recommending?
So the main thing is to start thinking about your career interests and goals. They suggest doing things like taking personality tests, researching potential employers, using resources like BCH Hub Insights, and thinking about what kind of experiences you want to have during your time at university.
So it's about connecting your university experience to your future career aspirations.
Exactly.
Okay. And what about other resources for building skills and experience that will be valuable for that future resume?
They mentioned BCH boot camps, which I think are skills-based workshops offered by the business school and the co-op program. And they also make it very clear that you have to use Grammarly for all written assignments, starting with assignment 2.
Okay, so they're really emphasizing professional communication skills.
Yeah.
So for our listener, what's the key takeaway from this deep dive into the ENT 101 course outline?
I think the big takeaway is that this course isn't just about theoretical knowledge. It's about building a practical, applicable entrepreneurial mindset that can benefit you in any area of your life.
Exactly. It's about cultivating those essential skills and attitudes that are valuable regardless of your career path. And for you, our learner, a few key things really stand out. The difference between planning and searching, the idea of effectual doing, those time management strategies we talked about, and the importance of proactively building your skills and experience throughout your university journey.
Absolutely. And all of these things, this focus on proactive thinking, adaptability, and continuous learning, are things that can really serve you well no matter what you're doing.
Right, because at the end of the day, it's about being able to navigate a complex and ever-changing world. So here's a final thought for you to ponder. What aspect of this entrepreneurial mindset, maybe this curiosity, maybe it's proactivity, or maybe it's resilience, what resonates with you the most, and how can you start incorporating that into your own life today?
Because entrepreneurial thinking isn't just for entrepreneurs. It's a valuable tool for anyone who wants to make a difference and create something new.
That's a great point. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep learning and keep exploring.